Blog Talk Radio.
And the lovely, beautiful Doc Honeycutter in the building. What's up, sweetheart? How are you?
What's going on, DJ Sean? I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Make me want to holler.
Make me want to holler. Yay.
Right.
Yes.
Want to holler. So how was your weekend?
My weekend was full. You know, I'm a doctor every day, all day. So it was full.
So, how you feel about making the mask here in Charlotte mandatory for some of these people that are going around and not using them in different stores?
Well, that is the punishment for people taking it for granted. You know, they had to do something that was going to buckle down because, you know, this pandemic is... on a
no
rampant,
joke.
Like, it's really, yeah, it's no joke, for real. So, you know, I'm glad to see that they're, you know, actually trying to get this thing under control. It's out of hand.
Right. And that's everywhere. I mean, we got, like,
yeah.
Texas gone crazy and California and Wisconsin and here in Charlotte, North Carolina, we in the top five, I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, yes, yes. So wear your mask if you're listening. Wash your hands. Make sure your hands are clean because it is definitely real. Definitely real.
Well, we're getting ready to get into one of your favorite topics. You're a big, addict, for mental health.
Absolutely.
PTSD. We have one of our friends, you know her, on the shows that we do,
right.
Robin Lynn Maben, and she is a veteran, and she's going to be joining us tonight and discussing your favorite topic, and mental health. You know,
and let me
hello.
Hey,
oh.
Robin.
Hey.
Robin?
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Hi, everybody.
Oh, okay. There you
Hi.
Go. All right. They can hear us.
Let me add, you know, you were saying that it's one of my favorite topics. You know, it's just a topic that needs to be talked about because nobody wants to talk about it because of the stigma that has been attached to it. So they would rather sit in silence than for some, you know, to then to reach out and have, you know, to get help, because they get embarrassed because they think people are going to call them crazy or, you know, or it's all in your head. But, you know, we are here, and I'm glad that we have the platform, and I'm actually glad Robin Lynn is on, because she can talk from experience about this thing. You know, this thing is real. So I definitely want to thank you for, you know, just having the courage to get on the show and express how you feel so you can help somebody else that, you know, that was kind of embarrassed about actually getting on talking about it.
Yeah, well, I thank you for having me. I agree with you. It needs to be talked about. There really needs to be no shame. I'm a veteran, and I served my country. I was assaulted in the military, and then that developed me to cause a mental health or two, some mental health issues in me. I developed post-traumatic stress disorder, and I'm also bipolar. So it's been very, very difficult to get to live with this. And I have to talk about it because I need my people's, my family and my friends. I need their engagement, if you will, so that I can live a balanced life. I don't have to curl up in a ball and stay hidden away from people just because I'm having a bad day or just because I have a mental illness. I'm not the only one. There are lots of people that are working under the cloak of, you know, are with mental illness. They're just not saying anything because once people find out that you're crazy, they take you treat you differently in business, in friendship, and other areas because people don't know what to do. So. Yeah, how can I help?
Go ahead, Doc. Go ahead. No.
So
you go.
Lynn,
you lead. You lead. I'll follow.
Okay.
So, Robin Lynn, you said that they treat you differently. Do you think that they take what they know and they use it against you, or they use it for a weakness that you may have?
I've had all of that happen to me. They'll use it as a weakness. They'll use it against me. In business, they'll stop taking me seriously. You know, things like that. It's really sad. It's really sad because most people and some of all of us are dealing with some issue or other, you know, and it's more common than not. And all of us, I believe, are I call it imbalanced, if you will. But yeah, definitely used against you, unfortunately.
Okay. DJ Sean, you want to add something?
So, Robin, you were saying that. How many years in the military did you spend for your country?
Eight
years.
Eight.
And out of the 8 years, how can you say that? How can you say that the veterans, and this is not, go to our, we got to do this real quick. Doc, can you talk about our opinion? Can you give our disclaimer out there real quick?
Absolutely. These are the opinions of Hilltop Radio, DJ Sean, Doc Honeycutt. It does not mean that we expect for this to be your opinion. We're merely expressing our opinions only. You have a right to your own opinion. So we're not diagnosing. This is for entertainment purposes only.
Okay.
Very good. Very good.
Don't try this
at home.
Yeah, don't try this at home. You might end up with a headache or a migraine, but So let me ask you this, Robin, because there's a lot of guys that I referee with that are, you know, ex-military, spent many years mm-hmm. in the military, many years in Kuwait, many years fighting mm-hmm. in Desert Storm. My brother, you know, my oldest brother was in Desert Storm. He's passed on now. He contracted cancer through the chemicals that they used mm-hmm. in Desert Storm years and years. My brother's been gone 3 years now, 2 years now, okay. 2 years now.
Yeah.
So how can you rate your VA hospitals and the government? How can you rate them in helping, you know, the veterans such as yourself and other veterans that are going through, you know, PTSD and other, mm-hmm. you know, other mm-hmm. Health issues that you veterans, and I'm saying you because you're part of that as well, you veterans have, you know, whether it was in war or being assaulted or, you know, being seeing something that changed your life while you're in the military. How can you rate the military, your VA hospitals, and your government
mm-hmm.
as far as helping mm-hmm. you and your fellow military personnels? How can you, you know what I mean? How can you rate
okay.
them?
Okay. The military, active duty military, is separate and a different entity than the Department of Veterans Affairs. So I want to be clear before I start off. The military suck. They take no responsibility for what's happened to us. Okay? And they offer no treatment or no remedy. Active duty military. Department of Veteran Affairs has been absolutely wonderful in identifying the needs, the health needs of the veterans, because the military, after we're discharged, they just dump us off. They just dump us off. They don't even tell us things like, you know, you can go get food stamps or welfare or unemployment or things like that. I was immediately homeless after I got out of the Air Force. And I stayed homeless from 1987 till 2003. Mm-hmm. And it was with the VA, Department of Veteran Affairs, the VA hospital, the social workers there, that I got my disability compensation, I got my my diagnosis and treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So Department of Veteran Affairs, I rate them 100%, even with all of the issues and the problems that they have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So.
No. Doc, you go ahead, because me and you know me. Yeah, we're fighting over Robin tonight, boy.
I'm going back and forth like a tug of war.
Right. You know, I just wanted to, like, kind of make it known and for people that really don't understand what mental illness and the diagnosis is, you know, because a lot of people don't even mm-hmm. really understand. You have to understand first.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know that there's an issue. Am I correct? Before you even go
you
on
have to
like,
know.
Where you're going to go. Like,
yes.
Huh?
Yeah. You have to know, because for the majority of that time, it wasn't until 1999 or 1997 that I got diagnosed. So up until that time, I knew something was wrong with me, but I didn't know what. I didn't know what. Okay? I had went through the drunk and alcohol rehab thing. Yeah, no, there's still something. There's still something wrong. There's still something really wrong with me, and I was keeping everybody at an arm's length because I was very, very ashamed that I couldn't function, and I still get ashamed when I have days where my brain is just not working and I just can't function. It's very, very embarrassing for me. Still to this day. Yeah, but you have to know that something is wrong so that they can identify it, and then you can begin to address it.
Wow. What I was going to say is that why... Let me see this. Let me see how I can put this. Why the ads for... the military, you know, your Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, why the ads where they say, you come in this such and such and, you know, we'll take care of you for the rest of your life and stuff. Why hype the ads up and knowing that that's not true and getting all these young people to go to the Air Force, Army, you know, National Guards, And trick them into being a part of, you know, the military, and then not helping them when they go through
money.
War. Yeah. Okay.
Money. But military is the number one funded, or just say war in itself. The military is the most, or the number one funded, I guess. I don't know if it's a commodity, but the number one funded thing in our government.
Okay.
Yep, and they get actual money for funding. They get mandated funding for every single individual body that's enlisted in the service, whether they are alive or dead. And then watch this. As soon as a person enlists, there's a certain amount of money that's set aside for their whole, for 20, 30 years of military pay and retirement, whether they become eligible for it or not. That money is just mandated. And then if someone discharges and never uses that money themselves, the military gets to absolve that. Okay?
So they really
don't want you to come in so you can be all that you can be. They want you to come in so they can get all that they can get. If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense because
supposed to know that.
But it's pretty much that money that's set aside for the military, such as yourself. That money should be used as helping, you know, you get through your post-traumatic stress disorder or, you know, bipolar, et cetera, right?
It should be, and it is, but number one, if we don't know that money is sitting there mandated, that means it's sitting there for us, then they don't educate us that you can file a claim. As a matter of fact, when you go in the service, the first thing that they tell you cannot sue the government. Well, no, you don't sue the government. You file a claim against the military for any injurious actions that were done towards you while you were on active duty. That's what I did.
So you have to
file a... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too, huh? I'm just trying to look. We're just trying to get all the questions in. We can. I know we're probably. Can we on Thursday, or do we have something else lined up? Because I know we.
No, we're gonna. You must have been reading my mind because I was gonna say we're gonna do a part two of this come Thursday. So
okay.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be very glad to. And thank you guys. so much, because this is I've only had to keep this a secret, not because I've wanted to, but because people couldn't handle it. But me, myself, I would rather tell people up front and have them, you either go away or you stick with me. I'd rather get that out of the way right up front, because I really do rely on the people around me, you know, to I can't get through this, you know, by myself. I don't need nobody to wipe my mouth while I'm slobbering or anything, but if I can tell by how other people are reacting around me if I'm off or not, you know, then maybe I need to go sit down, or, you know, maybe I'm manic, or, you know, whatever like that. Yeah. So, but I really thank you guys for allowing me to be so transparent. I really appreciate it. And I hope that it does help somebody, because some people need to look like, to see what it looks like to have mental illness and still live, work and live and be successful and everything. Yeah, and see what it looks like.
So my question to you, Robin Lynn, then, and I'm sure I can speak on behalf of DJ Sean and myself, we definitely got your back. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to be ashamed to let us know that, you know, hey, I'm having a bad day mentally right now. Can you talk to me? Because we're here, you know, because we want everybody. You want me to succeed. You want DJ Sean to succeed. And we want you to succeed mentally and physically as well. So you got to.
Hell yeah.
But I wanted to say, you know, you were talking about being in the Air Force, and they have these money set aside for you guys, you know, but they don't make it known. It's there, but you don't know it's there. Do you think that it would be a great additive if they even had programs set up? Because I think people immediately need mental health services. Because you're going through transition, like, this is a transition. You are a civilian 1 minute. The next hour, you belong to the government. You know what I'm saying? You don't even belong to yourself anymore. So that within itself, that's a transition. That could affect somebody mentally. So do you think that they need to have programs already in place? Even if you know, do you just need to go talk to somebody for 1 hour a week?
They do need to have programs in place. Unfortunately, the military's exit program, they rubber stamp their psyche valves for you. You don't even go meet a doctor. They just rubber stamp you, so you don't even get the opportunity. It's really sad. And then the military, again, who should be the ones, I feel strongly, that support us in the transition, they're not doing it. The VA is doing as best that they can. But what I did was I became an advocate. And me, along with many other veterans, we advocated for ourselves and for each other, and we became our own programs, and we created models that different locations, people in different VA locations are following now and supporting each other. Veterans off the line. So you have to be creative and flexible, and you're probably going to have to create your own support network, or get yourself plugged in. And then it's going to take other veterans. I encourage other veterans to reach out to other veterans and ask them, hey, have you filed a claim? You've been up to the VA for your medical care? Just the very basic things like that. I didn't even know that I could go to the VA hospital. Nobody told me. I was out of the service for 10 years. 10 years. No medical care, no treatment.
Is there such thing as getting lost in the system?
Yes.
Talking about the military. So there is a such thing as getting lost in the system. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's deliberate. It's not on purpose. It's deliberate. Like I'll tell you, for me an example, my first 4 years of the Air Force got lost.
Mm.
When I filed a claim, okay, what happened to me on active duty 1 month. I was assaulted 1 month after I entered the service. When I filed my claim, my whole military history and records just disappeared. They said I wasn't even in the service then. And the only thing that got me my claim was, well, if I'm on my second enlistment now, okay? You recognize my second four. On paper, they only recognized 4 years of service for me, but I served 8.
Wow.
And the 4 years that they have on record are my last 4 years, my reenlistment. But I enlisted in 1980. Okay?
Wow.
So, and that's another way we get lost in the system is as we start developing mental illness and post-traumatic stress disorder, or we're suffering just from the trauma of whatever injuries, we don't always have the presence of mind to speak up for ourselves and ask for help. Okay?
Is that because of being embarrassed or... not letting your fellow officers know that you're going through, you know, what you're going through? Is that the reason why?
I think the reason why, well, for me, the reason why I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just knew something was wrong with me, but I didn't know what. And I didn't know how to convey that. And then also, the you really are suffering a detachment or a break from reality. So there's really not always the presence of mind that you can even communicate to speak up for yourself, to get treatment, help, or anything. Mm-hmm.
So, Robin Lynn, what do you think is the most... like, what do you think helped you the most to get, you know, to where you are now? Because I know you still have good days. You still have days that are challenging because everybody do. I have days that are challenging mentally for me as well. So do you think treatment and meds, or what do you think helped you to, you know, to get through your days now more so than now? Yeah.
For me now and always, probably always, it's treatment, therapy, and meds. There are some people that they feel that the medication interferes with their creativity, or there are some that when they feel better, they stop taking the meds. There are some that go, oh, I know I got it, but I can control it. And I am here to tell you, if you're prescribed medications, take your medications. You cannot control it. And go to therapy. Don't be afraid to go to therapy, because therapy is the appropriate place for you to work it out, not to go and try to expect your husband, I mean, or your family or your friends to know what to do or know what to say. It's not up to them. All they can do is listen, but really when you're in a condition, we don't need somebody to listen to us. We need some real help, if that makes sense. So you have to be responsible enough not to put that burden unfairly on people either, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot
of
sense.
So I do it. I do everything that I can to, I take my meds, go into therapy, talk with my doctors like that. I do everything that I can so that I'm not a burden on my family. And then another thing too, is a lot of times healthcare providers, they will go, can't a family member help you out? And when they ask you that, tell them no, even if you do have family members, because it's not the family member's responsibility, nor are they equipped to handle that, those issues. So, yeah, I hope I answered your question.
Absolutely. I think that the family should go, like the immediate family, I think it's important for them to actually go to therapy sessions as well, because that way they can understand, because a lot of people don't.
Yes.
A lot of people do not understand, and I didn't understand either until I actually had close family members that had, you know, mental health challenges, and that's what made me write about it. That's what made me become an advocate. And my family members always say it's like being in a room all alone, and, you know, nobody, you know you're there, but, like, nobody really understands what's going on with you.
Yeah, and you can't explain it to them. You can't convey it to them because you're sitting there. It's not like we start drooling and slobbering. We're sitting there like I go in and out frequently, but you can't tell looking at me, okay? And so, and it's very, very difficult for me to tell you, woohoo, I'm not all here right now. You know, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was fascinating to me, and then. So I was able to study it, but it also hurt me. It's very, very devastating to not always have that control. And then when I don't have that control, I'm kind of at anybody's mercy, if you will. And it can be really, really frightening. And it's always humiliating for me. It is. I'm always very, very embarrassed. Every time I'm not 100%. I'm ashamed, actually.
That's why a lot of people don't step up. But my question to you is, how do you kind of let somebody, a lot of people don't even know that they have a problem. A lot of people think that they are it's just their normal self, you know what I'm saying? But they're acting out. So how do you think you can help somebody that don't even think that they have a problem?
Most of the time, you really can't. I mean, sometimes you can stage questions in such a way that won't be offensive to them. But unless somebody really, really wants help, you're only going to end up pissing them off, really. And they're gonna run. You have to be really, really strong, and then you have to be really, really, you have to really want to be well and be better, and then you have to understand that being well and being better does not necessarily mean that you're gonna be cured or that this stuff is gonna go away. So the biggest piece is you have to have acceptance of what's happened to you, and that's your life now. That's really the biggest piece of it, if that makes sense.
A lot of sense.
Yeah.
So
Robin Lynn. Oh, I'm sorry, DJ.
No, go ahead. You on a roll. No. you on a roll. Go ahead. That's your thing. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Doc.
Can you tell us the difference between post-traumatic stress and bipolar, please?
Yeah. Post-traumatic stress can occur when anyone has suffered or witnessed a traumatic event. And what's common with people who suffer from post-traumatic distress is that they lose the ability, or sometimes they become incapable of feeling pain and other sensations like happiness, joy, sadness, even physical pain. Mm-hmm. So, and when we don't have that ability to feel that, we also can't respond to that. So there's a complete disconnect from your life and everything with post-traumatic stress disorder. Bipolar, there's different degrees of bipolar, but it's you can go between extremes, from depression on one end of it to manic, which is a lot of activity, super confidence, and the behavior is very, it's like you can tell, like one day to the next. Like if I was in a manic phase, I would probably be up rearranging the furniture, painting the walls, you know, doing major housework all in one day. And it would make you look at me, go, wow. And you would even say, are you okay? You know, like that. If that makes sense. Yeah. So, I don't know if it's chemical or whatever, or hereditary like that, but PTSD is caused by something in the environment or situational, which would be a difference with that. So I don't even know if post-traumatic stress disorder even would be classified as a mental illness. I don't know. But I hope that helps.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It should. I mean, you have, I mean, reading on it while we're talking, I mean, you get suicidal thoughts from having PTSD, your feelings, emotions, symptoms.
Yeah.
Like hearing a car backfire, or you know, going a sexual assault.
Yeah.
Smells. Yep. Trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
Always, always being on the defensive. So there has to be a mental illness.
I think
if you take a medication for bipolar and other things, I think that is a mental illness. If you have to take, medication to help correct it when you take it, you know what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Doc.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you have to make sure you see the right mental health practitioner. Like, you can't make sure you get the right diagnosis if you just go into a medical doctor, because that's not their specialty. You can't come to, somebody that does not specialize in mental health and expect to get the right one. Because I'm telling you, when I started doing the research on my book, because I wanted to put out the correct information, that book was so thick. Like, this is a huge book of different mental illnesses. People don't even have, not even been talked about.
The DSMR. The DSMR, man, they got 4 or 5 book volumes of them things with the mental illnesses in them and the breakdowns. Yeah.
And the characteristics of a lot of them are so similar to if you get somebody that's just a general practitioner, you might not get exactly what you need. So people, anybody, if you're seeking mental health, get a mental health professional, somebody that does mental health for, you know, that's
and not a life coach. Don't go
right.
get a
no.
life coach. Go get a therapist and understand that a psychiatrist is different than a psychologist. A psychologist, he only oversees your case for the management of your medication. So anyone that tells you, well, I've got a psychologist, they're not actively in treatment unless they are seeing a psychiatrist. I'm just telling you. So.
So I just want to say this, Robin. PTSD is a mental health condition that is triggered by terrifying events, either experiencing it or witnessing it.
Yep.
Symptoms may include flashbacks, nightmares, and severe anxiety, as well as uncontrollable thoughts about the event. So it is a mental health condition.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Wow. It's hearing all that, it's just, I mean, I know I live that every day, but hearing it, it's like messing me up a little bit.
you know,
I've been dealing with this for such a long time, and I've been one of the fortunate ones that I've been blessed to find a way to live with it, and I've got a really good life. But it took a long time though. I spent many years curled up in a ball, not functioning, not able to do anything.
First you had to accept that there was something, because like you say, you just didn't know what was wrong. You knew something was going on, but you didn't know, because many people are confused by mental illness, and many would claim that they simply just don't, you know, that it does not exist. So
acceptance is the biggest piece of it, I would really, really say. But even after I found out, it's you when the brain is not functioning. When the brain is off and you can't respond and you can't think and you can't function, when your mind is blank like that during those times, I don't know if it ever make a bit of difference. You know, it's just kind of
glitches in your mental process. That's what happens. It's like a computer that you get those glitches. In that process.
Yeah. Yeah. And when that brain is off, you don't have the ability. I didn't even have the ability to convey to someone that I was hungry. If you said something to me, what came out of my mouth had no relation to anything that you just said to me. And so it's when you don't have the ability to speak up for yourself, acceptance doesn't even come into play. You're just gone. Robin Lynn was gone. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So
news in 60 Minutes with DJ Sean and Doc Honeycutt, and we have one of our good dear friends, Robin Lynn Maven, 8 years military, with the United States Air Force. And she's doing her own thing as well too, fighting PTSD every day, because you know it's some ignorant people in the business that we are in today, this entertainment business, this radio business, this TV business. And I know sometimes it's hard to ignore ignorance, but we get ignorance like every day. Every day we're bombarded with something stupid, or someone says something stupid, or someone does something stupid. And I know, you know, we're going to bring you back, you know, Thursday. That we'll just, Doc, we'll have you think about that, you know, when you come back on Thursday, Robin. We'll just let that marinate.
Okay.
How do you cope with those, you know, with those issues? I mean, you got radio stations, you got, you know what I mean? You helping hundreds of people. You know, and people come at you like they come at, you know, like they come at Doc, you know, and people just, you know, not being real, and just, you know, just be real. And you know, and, you know, that's something we're going to jump in on when you come back on Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be glad to. And in the meantime, there's a movie that I was in called The Invisible War. You can find it on PBS. I think it's still on Netflix. It's a military.
Okay.
It's a story about military sexual trauma, and they did a really good job about. I'm not the only one in it, but they did a really good job about depicting PTSD and what happens to us, both men and women. The Invisible War. Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Robin Lynn, do you do anything every day, you know, like as part of a healthy lifestyle regimen that, you know, helps you to cope, you know, like taking a walk or watching what you eat, meditation, you know, just anything that you do that can, you know, help somebody else?
I don't necessarily meditate, or maybe you can call it meditating, but when I wake up in the morning, I study and I pray and I think deeply first thing every day. And, you know, a few times a week I'll ride my bike, you know, but and then when I need to, I will stop. When I start getting overwhelmed or tired, then I just stop and take a break. But every day I just let my mind have its own time every day first when I wake up.
You can, everybody out there listening, The Invisible War, you know, you can go to pbs.org. You can also go to imdb.com and you can watch it. You can also go to ITVS.org. You can go to RottenTomatoes.com. You can go to Amazon.com and AmazonPrime.com. You can also go to WashingtonPost.com. They did a article on it in June 21st, 2020. You know, it says more than 20% of the women in the military has, you know, have reported a sexual assault. Sexual assault. It's also on DocumentaryTube.com as well, too. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
It's gotten a lot of coverage since 2012.
But you got to see, Doc, it also won the Sundance Film Festival and received the U.S. Documentary Audience Award. So.
Yeah. We premiered at the Sundance Film Festival, and Mary J. Blige, she did a song or two on the soundtrack. Yeah. I still haven't seen that whole movie. It's very, very hard for me to watch. I mean, because it happened to me, so it's really hard to watch.
So was it based around you, or
or you was just one of the
The story was about PTSD, and then they had several subjects in it, and then they interviewed us, and then our individual pieces gave the whole story. And they did a really good job on it. And even men, it's not just women who are sexually assaulted. There are men sexually assaulted too. And I would venture to say that absolutely, 100%. I would say that absolutely 100% of people serving in the military are affected by military sexual trauma. They are either a perpetrator or a victim or a witness or a friend to someone that it's happened to. 100%.
Well, this is in 2010. This is 2010. This is 10 years ago. Department of Defense processed reports over 3,198 new assaults. By estimate of the actual number of assaults is closer to 19,000. But it says, however, these reports resulted in convictions against only, guess how many perpetrators out of that 19,000? Anybody want to take a guess?
10.
Doc, you want to take a guess?
Zero. None.
244.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
244.
10%.
Yep. 10%. That's not even a percentage.
Crazy.
And it's no better to this day, because there's no convening agency that has any authority over the military, so they have no accountability. None.
I was going to ask you, how do you feel about journaling and positive affirmations? But I was going to also make a statement about what you just said too, because if they open up that can of worms, you know, like they did the Me Too movement, they're going to have something on their hands. If everybody comes out that has been assaulted, like, it, you know, it would be hands down. Like,
well, we have been testifying in Congress, and that movie did get the attention of the Senate. So we've been testifying in Congress and things like that. Some people have, you know, jumped on board now, but it's still, there's no convening agency over the military. So that's going to be something that's going to be very, very difficult to change. So, yeah.
Wow.
Man,
what? In 2014, it won an Emmy.
Yeah.
An Emmy. Academy Award. It was nominated for an Academy Award in 2012, it won a lot of awards.
Yeah. Let me tell you what they did to us, though, while they were filming it. They came to us and they said, "We're filming a documentary. We can't pay you, and we need you to sign release forms, blah, blah, blah." So we signed release forms. Then they got the opportunity. That was the first documentary that was released into the mainstream media. Okay? And when it did that, we signed away releases, so we're not getting royalties, we're not getting checks, we're not getting none of that.
Wow.
Yep. And I'm going to talk about them too. Okay. I'm going to talk about them because they got that Emmy. That's my Emmy too.
That's right. They need to give you credit if they don't give you anything else.
Actually, something that else that's not in the movie, they in Washington State, there were several women veterans that they interviewed, that they had left to interview. So I was the one who booked the place, the retreat for us, and then there were women veterans that flew out there. There were housebound veterans, women who weren't even leaving their homes. But I connected with them, and because I had been advocating for them, they flew out to Washington State to film the rest of the movie. And then most of their parts that were recorded hit the cutting ground. It didn't make the movie. But, you know, I did a lot of advocating. A lot of those women, when they are in the movie telling their story, their audio part, I was the one, the one with the dog, I was the one that she was talking to when she was telling her story, okay?
Wow.
I'm the one that they told their stories to. So they don't, after the movie came and went, we went back to being invisible because it was only us advocating for each other. When we had to fly up there for the, they only paid for two of the people in the movie to fly up for the release. The rest of us flew up there on our own. And when they interviewed us afterwards, they only had people, a couple of cast members in there, you know. And it's like, wow, well, we feel invisible again. I really regret doing that movie after the way that they treated us. But except for the fact that people are watching it and people are coming to know, because they did a really good job. When you watch it, you'll understand more about PTSD and how it affects us. They did a very accurate depiction. So, I don't know. I'm starting to ramble.
But they got all the credit too. You know what I'm saying? Like they should have gave y'all credit just because you had the courage to get up. Because can't nobody tell you about mental illness if they have not experienced it. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't read a book and tell somebody like you can tell somebody.
Mm-mm.
Am I correct?
And that's correct. And you really need to take it from the person that's experiencing it.
I've had
several counselors and therapists that were new. You know, they were just coming out of school, just got their certification or whatever, and they don't have the experience or the knowledge, just the book stuff, and they are absolutely not equipped to handle. Because what they do is they go back, they take what you say, and then they go back and they look in that book. And in that book, there's not anything to match what you just done told them.
Right.
Right. So you have to, there has to be some practical application and some real stuff, some real application. And if they haven't experienced it, nope, they can't know. I used to tell my doctor that my doctor would ask me questions and I would tell him, I don't know, you're the psychiatrist me. Don't ask me no questions, okay? You tell me. That's why I came here. Shoot, I don't know. I'm a tough case. They don't like me when I go in there because I make them think. I'm like this. When I go into the doctor's, I'm so damn intelligent that I have the doctors leaning forward, listening to me when I'm going in there for help. Do you hear me? Okay. Yeah. Don't put me in no group situation. They'd be like, Miss Mabel, do you want to facilitate the group today? No. I'm sitting here physically shaking. I just got yoked up a few last night, you know? And they go, well, you know, you're so strong. People can benefit from it. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that they can benefit from that, but it pulls too much from me. People are benefiting from my strengths, and I'm not getting no help. shoot, can you help a sister out? And that's another thing. I've had to become so strong to overcome this stuff. I had to, because I was out there homeless, with, out of my mind. You understand? So I had to... I had to get it together real, real quick. I couldn't rely... Yeah, anyway,
nobody,
I got some stories I could tell y'all.
Nobody knows your story. You know what I'm saying? People could judge you for being homeless, but nobody knows where you came from. They don't know the whole story.
You know what I like to do for the people that like to judge? I take off one shoe and I hand it to them. And they say, well, what's that for? And I say, this is just one. Put it on. I don't even want you to walk in it. I want you to just try to stand in one of my shoes. Just try standing in one of them. Just try it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of courage to admit to yourself that, wow, that there's something wrong. To accept that something happened to you and it changed you and it's not your fault, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it. This going to be the way that it is, girlie, so get a grip. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Look, yep. I think we need to end the show with that, DJ. What you think?
Yeah, we're going to have save some more for you people on Thursday. If anybody out there that is really, really interesting and watching this documentary, I found it where you can watch it on your phone or your laptop. It's go to documentarytube.com and search. Put it in the search and it pops right up. I'm actually playing it as we were talking, so I'm gonna watch this and
I appear twice in the first hour.
Okay. Right now they're talking about four minutes. And there's Robin. Oh, there's Robin right there. Look at her. At 4 minutes and 55 seconds, y'all can see Robin Lynn. Ah, oh, look at her. That's Air Force.
Where do we find it again, DJ? I'm getting ready to pull it up.
Documentary Tube. DocumentaryTube.com. In 4 minutes and... Mm-hmm. What was that? 4 minutes and... What did I say? 4 minutes and...
55. Wow.
You guys can see Robin Lynn.
All right, wow. Robin Lynn. And can I say, if there's anybody that's listening and you have questions that you want to ask us for next week... You know, they can post them, right? They can post their questions on the Hilltop.
Yeah, they can post it, or they can actually send them djsean.com Hilltop.
That'd be amazing.
Love
to answer some questions that people, you know, have been wanting to ask somebody and. Feel like that they can, or feel a little embarrassed, you know. Yeah, let's do that. If you got any questions, send them to DJ Sean, and we'll answer them over the air, right?
Yes, I will forward them to Doc, and Doc will view them to see if they're appropriate questions to ask. We'll make sure they're appropriate questions to ask, and then we'll get them on Thursday. Here on News in 60 Minutes with DJ Sean and Doc Honeycutt. Make sure you guys tune in tonight in about another 56 minutes. You will actually see Robin Lynn will be joining us tonight on we got a doubleheader. We got some talented young brothers trying to get in the showcase and see what their music does for the DJs. And that's at 9 o'clock here on the Hilltop Radio Show. So, Doc, go ahead and take us on out of here. Get, you know. do your thing, girl.
Hey. Well, look, first, follow me on IG, Doc Honeycutt Enterprises, and on Facebook, Doc Honeycutt. Robin Lynn, can you tell everybody how to find you?
Yeah, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. Did I forget anywhere else? Robin Lynn Maben. Periscope, right. Too. Yeah.
Celebrity DJ Sean, can you let everybody know where they can find you, sir?
Right here on the Hilltop Radio Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. If you want to be a part of the show, reach out to me, djsean.hilltop@gmail.com. And I'll make sure that these lovely ladies that are part of Hilltop view everything that comes in, people that want to be a part of the show.
And that's our show, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you go say something else? Okay.
No, ma'am.
Well, that's our show. We want to thank you for joining us. Join us right here every Monday and every Thursday. And we'll see y'all on Thursday. We're going to pick it right back up, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Peace, y'all.
Peace out.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da